this morning, I thought, man, it's been a while. And I said, oh, it's all right. You've done it many times, and it's you're in family. So anyhow, but still, it's always a little nerve-wracking. I want to take the time to say thank you so much. With your help, we've been able to plant churches in the coast area, the jungle and mountains. We're discipling young men in our house. We have a little program that we do. It's young men living in our house, and they study online classes. I like to say sometimes that I subcontract theology, and I polish off all the corners. I do all the small little detail, and so these young men go in four different parts of the city and evangelize and disciple and preach. And so we're a small congregation, and we meet in four different areas, and also we have a beautiful deaf ministry. And so, excuse me if I start using a little bit of Spanish. And so we're always doing something. We're discipling, we're teaching sign language, all the young men in our house are either learning English, sign language, or a little bit of Portuguese. We're working with some people from Brazil as well. And so we've had Brazilians, Venezuelans, Colombians, and Peruvians living in our house, and deaf. And so it's multicultural, and thank you guys for allowing us and mobilizing us to do this. And it's all by God's grace that He's moving Life Church to get us there. And thank you so much. Another thing, I miss being here. We're going to miss going back. Our flight is March 12th. And so we've had chili, we've had brisket, we've had casseroles, visiting different houses. I feel like I could just open your fridge at just any time. And I'm so thankful for the hospitality. I think most, just about everybody here, you're sharing the gospel with your house key. And thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I'm very impressed by the Bible studies and the discipleship going on. It's just, it shows healthy believers. And so it just, you know, it's very gratifying to me to think about you guys when I'm in Peru, and know that you're praying for us and you're out there going there for and making disciples. Okay, so be praying for us. And we have some magnets that we just got, and some pictures there. If any of you use your fridge, you can put a picture there and you could see it, and remember to pray for us. Okay. So I'd like to encourage you today. I asked Paul, I said, wow, I get to encourage the people I love. I know you could have Paul preaching today, but now it's Timothy, and I would love to encourage you and share a little bit of how God changed my life, and also share some scripture. And if you could turn with me to Luke 15. So Most of you know the story about the prodigal son. We have somebody in our family that's a prodigal son, right? Somebody knows the prodigal son. And maybe some of us were a prodigal son or daughter. So this story is very important to me. It's important to me all the time. It speaks to me every day because I'm either working with one or it reminds me of myself sometimes when I'm sharing the testimony, my testimony. And it allows me to remember who I was, who I am. And so I don't want to read the whole thing here, but I'm gonna have to just kind of condense a little bit. So how many here have read the story of the prodigal son? Nice. How many here, thank you for, okay, now I know you're not asleep. and so how many here have listened or read the story of the prodigal God? Okay, so this is Tim Keller, Prodigal God, and I think Paul and I did it together. And so we have the son, right? There's a son, and everybody here looks like you've read it. So he tells his dad, I want my part of the inheritance, and I want to go do my thing. That's everybody here. Basically, everybody has to go through this in some way or form. We somehow are just prodigal sons, and we're constantly seeking something. We have idols. I first went to church once in San Antonio because I lost my job, and so we're always looking for something. And so we know that the prodigal son here is he's gone with his riches, and he used up half of the riches, and then there was a famine, and so he comes back, and he says, well, you know, he realizes he's hungry, and he says, I'm gonna go back to dad. How many of us do that? Oh yeah, God will help me. Church will help me. I talk to so many people. And it's just a normal thing. Say, hey, my wife and I are having problems. Oh, okay, well, let's talk. And he says, yeah, I think I just need to go back to church. And it's true, but we think, how can I get help? Because I'm just not working this out by myself. And so, in some way or form, we're all the prodigal son. We almost have to go through this step. We start off that way, which is the youngest son. And so in this story, we see that the prodigal son goes back to his father, and he says, Dad, I'm not worthy. You remember that day? Some of us here, remember that day? I'm not worthy to be your son. And the father says, come here. He hugs him, he kisses him, he puts the ring on him, and he puts the robe on him, and he receives him. He receives them with no reproach, knowing that there was a famine, and thinking, ha, you're hungry. I'm going to make you suffer. No, he said, come. A signet ring. Come. Be a part of the family. This is what Life Church has done for me. God has used Life Church. And God himself, every day has a new mercy for me. He has a new mercy for you. Every day his mercies are new, and his grace is great. It's to the skies. And so the father not only ran to him, he hugged him, He put a ring on him. He put a robe on him, knowing that he probably just came back because he's hungry. We see this father, like our Heavenly Father. Tim Keller, one of my favorite preachers and theologians, he says, everybody wants to be fully known and fully loved. And I think the Father showed this. He said, I know why you're back, but I still love you. You're probably just hungry and you wasted everything. And I still love you. Come back. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that day? When your idols were taking your life over, and then you said, God, I surrender again. Do you remember those days? Are you doing that right now? Do you feel like you're the son right now? Do you feel like you're in the Father's arms right now? I think I go through this sometimes weekly. It might not be that I'm acting upon it, but my mind or my heart or my anger or my control issues. Does anybody get that? It's just me. Tim Keller also says, I think this is the story of the prodigal God. Because most of us see the reckless son, and he says, the love of the Father is reckless. So he loves us no matter what. He loves us because he loves us, and because he will, and because he does. So then we see the son, the oldest son. I've been that guy. So in my testimony, I probably became the youngest son most of my life. And then about 3 or 5 years studying theology and kind of making my life better, I started becoming the older son. And I started saying, well, this guy's got a lot of friends and he's not focused on God or whatever. Whatever the reason was, either I think I felt the weight of sin, and then when I was fighting sin, I started blaming others on their sin. And also the older brother probably saw that he was hungry. There's a famine. Oh, he's coming back. But there's times when all of us become the older brother. And we look at other people and we point out their defects, and we say, well, he's red and he's blue or whatever. The thing is that the kingdom of God is not about that. It's more about being like the Father. And it's tough because every song that we sang and we've been singing, it's like us being more like the Father. But our tendencies are to be like those brothers. Our heart desires, our idols, our shortcomings are like those brothers. So I ask you today, are you going through one of these brothers? Is your character reflecting the son? And I want to confess that that's where I was. Sometimes my mind goes back there, and I sometimes physically shake my head, and I say, God, why? Why am I doing this? Help me. I want to love these people. They are coming back. It doesn't matter why, but they're coming back. At 4 a.m, while I was changing the diaper, I get to change diapers at 4 a.m. I thought about a friend and a disciple that the, that probably just wants to come back for convenience. And I said, oh gosh, this message was not for y'all. It is, and it's for me. No matter what it is, he forgives me, and I have to remember that. And I forgive others. So we want to be more like the Father, because so we look at this story and we go up a couple of stories more. There's a coin and there's a sheep. In my head, I was thinking, okay, how can I tell, you know, Life Church right now in 2026? And I said, well, it's a cell phone and a pet, you know. Lost a cell phone and lost a pet. So imagine you lose yourself and your pet, right? And so the story is about God pursuing us and chasing after us. He goes to the cross and he dies and he says, it's for you. And he just gives you this ultimate love. And he says, come, come. I accept you. It's okay. I fully know you, and I still love you. That is the gospel. That is why we're here. So, when you are going through shortcomings, just remember, I hope you know I'm not mad at you, right? I'm trying to explain a point that Daniel asks me almost every week. He says, are you mad? No, I'm focused right now. This is a partial testimony of my life. I was a younger son, and then for about three to five years, I act like the older son. But when I started looking through the lens of the Father, freedom, real freedom came. It was like, wow, I get to be like Jesus? Is this what we sing, I want to be like him? And looking through the lens of the Father is how I began to make disciples. How I began to evangelize and look at every heart and say, maybe him, maybe you're pursuing him right now. I better talk to him. Use me, God. Send me. And I went from not caring to criticizing to saying, hey, come back. Hey, how can I help you? Hey, here's my house key. Literally, there is, I don't know how many house keys, like 10 or 15 house keys, 20. Literally, some guys come in. I walk out and I'm like, hey, and they're making eggs. He's like, hey, you want one? I'm like, sure. And it's before we have a study. And I'm like, it's okay. But it reminded me of me coming here, opening up, and people bringing donuts, and we had a study. And it was like home. So looking through the lens of the Father is where we want to be. That is where you're going to find freedom. That's where I found freedom. Being less like the Son and more like the Father, which drives me to evangelize, drives me to make disciples. And this is something that helped me so much in my growth. One of my favorite theologians, he says, you know, there is really only two religions in the world. I said, well, why would you say that? We all know that there's tons of them. And he says, you've got everybody over here working hard, trying to get to heaven and avoiding hell. You got your Muslims praying at every certain hour, facing a certain direction. And you got your Christians trying to be better and good, which is good, to gain, to get food or to look better than the other or to be accepted. And then you have adopted sons and daughters, heirs, that say, he loves me because he loves me. Only to, over there, I'm just selfishly trying to avoid or gain. And this side, he said, I fully know your iniquities and I love you. The love of a father, it's just, you cannot explain. It is reckless. Those of you who know a prodigal right now, what do? We love them. I look at my six and I say, which one of them am I going to have to surrender and be reckless towards him? If you feel adopted and you accept the blood of Jesus Christ, you're glorifying him. You glorify his payment and his effort to pursue you on the cross. If we don't accept the cross, we will fight to gain the kingdom. We will be working just like any cult or any religion. And that's the gospel. The Father, the love of the Father that said, I know where you're at. I'm sending my son for you, and you're rescued and you're adopted and you're mine. That is Galatians 5. Freedom, for freedom you were set free. Over here, the flesh, rivalry. So, I want to encourage you today and tell you, look, today is a good day for you to examine and ask yourself, where am I? And say, well, maybe I do want to look through the lens of the Father. Or I have been. Thank you, Dan, for reminding me. I think most of you are looking through the lens of the Father. I worship with you, and I see how lovingly you bring people to your studies and homes. But if you're here today and you say, wow, I don't, consider this. The love of the Father is for you too. He accepts you. He knows you. He knows me. He knows all my iniquities. And it's freedom. For freedom, he has set you free. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, Lord, so much that you have given us the desire. You have given us the desire to love you. You have paid the price for us. You have given us eternal life. And although we deserve the worst, you give us the best. I pray, Lord, that you move in our hearts to see through the lens of the Father, to see like Jesus, and to love others, to invite others to our homes, to do outreach, to make disciples. I pray, Lord, that in the workplace, at the store, that we're always thinking, could this be your son? Could this person be looking through the lens of the Father pretty soon? Thank you, Father, for Life Church. Thank you for provision. Thank you for everything that you have done on the cross. We love you and we worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
All right, we are going to have lunch in just a moment, and Linda's going to give us a few instructions. But before we do that, just a couple quick things. How many different parts of the country do you have guys working now?
Three. three parts. We have three different cities working.
Yeah. Okay. What cities?
Oh, in Huánuco, in Lima, and Puerto Maldonado.
Yeah.
And Salvación, sorry.
Salvación, yeah.
Yeah, and we're in Puerto Maldonado.
Yeah. How many people are in, how many people are currently in the training program?
Right now, four.
How many have been through the training program over the last few years?
20-ish, yeah.
Yeah, 20-ish,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many different parts of the city do you guys have outreaches going on?
Four.
Four.
Yeah, minimum, yeah.
Four minimum. Just wanted to give you a little thumbnail of just what's involved. It's usually a pretty busy week when I go down to visit, so yeah. There's lots of stops. They're basically recreating church in different parts of the city, and it's a group effort, and it's a beautiful thing. We are, I'm going to just encourage you. Many years ago, my wife and I, we made a covenant with God with our finances, and we were tithers. We give 10% to the church and to ministry, and beyond that, we support lots of ministries. So I'm asking you to pray about how you can give above and beyond to Dan and Ruth and be a blessing to them. In the handout, there's a QR code for our giving. You can give to them directly on our website. So the offering would go like directly to them. We're going to leave some offering plates out for you to have an opportunity if you physically want to give something today, because they're leaving in a few weeks, and so it'll be nice to have a little bit extra to go with them. It is my dream, I don't know if we'll ever fully see this, but it's my belief that if every local church had one place abroad where they're personally connected, where people from the church have been there, and I could say, just show your hands if you've been to Peru, because I know it's been a big So anytime that we talk about Peru, I know there's almost a tithe of people in the room who have actually gone down and been there and seen it. Listen, I love mission organizations. I know there's a place for that. But like when a church can be personally connected to a place and just know what's taking place, and you're personally, your prayers hit different, your giving hits different. And one of the fun things about Peru and about the third world is you can do miracles on $100, whereas compared to the dog and pony show that we have to do in America to pull church off, a very different dynamic. It's amazing what we're able to get done down there. So I encourage you, they are great people and doing great work. And as I've said many times, it wouldn't be happening without Ruthie. She holds the whole thing together. She is the gravity of the operation. I couldn't be more proud of her. So, God bless you. Linda, do you have anything to share with us today? Linda Ravey, everybody. Care team director. Problem solver.
Yeah. Okay, so are we ready to eat? There are some small children in the back that we need to bring out, but a couple of things before we do that. So all of you wonderful chili makers, can we give a hand to our chili makers and our other donors? I tell you, if we can't do these things without all these wonderful cooks and people that are willing to pick up cookies and things, we appreciate you so much.